Brothers and sisters, it really is a great privilege to be here at Brigham Young University, a great school. School brings back some good memories. It also brings back some other memories of books and labs and exams and teachers and professors and long study hours. Kind of reminds me of a story of a young man who was determined that he would improve his grades in zoology. He had studied all night long for a final zoology exam. When he finally arrived at the class the next morning, to his surprise, he saw 10 birds sitting on 10 perches with hoods covering their whole bodies except for their legs. To his surprise, the teacher said, "The exam will not consist of all those things you studied, but of your walking up to these birds, looking at their legs, and identifying their genus and species." At this, the young student thought about it, and he became more and more angry. He walked up to the birds. He looked at their legs. They all looked the same to him. The more he thought about the fact that he had spent hours studying, the more angry he became. He finally walked over to the teacher's desk, slammed down his test, and said, "This is the most ridiculous exam I've ever heard of, and I'll not take it." And he stomped towards the door. Because the class was quite large, the professor called out, "Hey, what's your name?" The young man thought a minute, turned around, pulled up both pant legs, and said, "You guess, buddy, you guess." It's kind of how you feel sometimes, I'm sure, in taking some of those exams. I really am pleased to be here at the Y. There isn't any other school on all the earth quite like this one. You're a magnificent generation of young people. The Lord truly is raising you up to fulfill His purposes. To try to thwart those purposes, Satan has increased his ambassadors 100-fold to counteract the good that's being done and will be done by your generation. As you young men and women are at the threshold of some of life's key decisions, I have in mind this morning to provide you with some suggestions about facing those great decisions. I might say that those decisions are the big ones, the ones that really count. Decisions like discovering yourself and your potential, going on a mission, decisions concerning school, your future career, your future employment, finding a mate and marrying in the temple. In order to make these suggestions to you, I'd like to relate 4 true experiences that bear directly on these key decisions you're in the process of making or will soon have to make. Listen carefully, silently pray to be taught by the Lord. There may be something the Lord will say to you in your heart as a result of what is spoken here this morning. How do you discover yourself? What is your potential? The mind of man is limitless. You are a son or a daughter of God. We were all made in the image of our Father. Some years ago, a young man I'll call Raymond was in the 7th grade. He was a little taller than the other boys and was doing quite well in basketball and track. However, as the year progressed, the coach of the team began saying to him, "Raymond, stay seated. You're no ball player. You're too clumsy." The next game, "No, we don't need you. Stay right there. You can't run. You can't shoot the ball. You're not fast enough." This process continued for a number of months. Finally, the inevitable happened because of that continual negative conditioning, and Raymond finally believed what he was being told about himself. He bought it hook, line, and sinker. He believed it so much that in coming years, he did his best to avoid gym altogether. He did not play basketball with the young men anymore, at church or at school. He set aside running. He avoided sports. Went through his high school minimizing interaction of any kind in sports. The negative conditioning even followed him into his first year of college. Some athletics were required, but again, he minimized his involvement to the greatest degree possible. A year later, he found himself on a mission in a distant land. In this particular country, the buses that the missionaries used did not stop to let people board or unboard. One had to learn to do that while on the run. Some of you have been in some of those countries. One afternoon, as Raymond and his companion looked down the street, being a block or two from the bus stop, they saw the bus coming, and one of them said, "Run, Elder, run, or we'll miss our next appointment." To Raymond's great surprise, he beat his companion to the bus stop. Again that afternoon, Raymond purposely arranged a few runs for the bus. He beat his companion each time. He was shocked, amazed, and almost unbelieving, as he knew that his companion had received a number of awards for being the fastest runner in all of northern Arizona. Raymond was overcome. Could it be so? They ran again. He won. All of a sudden, the terrible realization came that he'd wasted all those years. He could have excelled in athletics, but he'd believed what someone else had sown in his mind. He then began questioning himself about every other attitude he had in which he might have been deceived concerning belief in self. Have you ever done that? Are you in the process of doing it now? Has someone convinced you that you are no good at music or mathematics or science, or that you'll always be overweight? I might add rather humorously that some are on that overweight diet you've heard of, the famous seafood diet, where they eat everything they see. Have you heard that one? More seriously, brothers and sisters, each of us definitely has definite gifts, different ones, but definite ones given to us. But I'm convinced that many of us are severely limited by the beliefs we have about our own self. The Lord said, "As a man thinketh, so is he. And then behold, according to your desires, yea, even according to your faith, shall it be done unto you." You cannot rise higher than your own beliefs and thoughts about yourself. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." One of the great processes you are now in is to discover yourself, to find those gifts and capacities that God has given you. He has given you great talents, the smallest part of which you have just begun to utilize. Trust the Lord to assist you to unlock the door to those gifts. Some of us have created imaginary limits. May I say that again? Imaginary limits in our own mind. There is literally a genius locked up inside each of us. Don't ever let anyone convince you to the contrary. The young man in this true story found himself in the mission field. Didn't the Lord teach us that whosoever sought his own life would lose it, and he that lost his life in the service of others would find it? Discover yourself. If you've not yet gone, go on a mission. You'll find yourself. Quote, "And now this commandment and calling give I unto you concerning all men." All men. "Take upon you mine ordination, even that of an elder, to preach faith and repentance and remission of sins, according to my word, and the reception of the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands." Yes, that discovery of self will be a great blessing to you in making those major decisions, whether it be to go on a mission, selecting a career, finding a suitable marriage partner, or raising a family. All of you, to some degree, are facing a situation in which you encounter some difficult challenges in school. This is the first time many of you have been away from home for any period of time. You may be facing difficult exams, struggling to meet your expectations and those of your professors. When some think of school, they think rather humorously of the fellow who said, "10th grade? Why, that was the best grade I ever had. Spent 3 best years of my life there." Or the closest some have come to honor at school is, "Yes, Your Honor. No, Your Honor." May I tell you about another young man, an experience in school that this man faced, a fellow about 18 years of age. I'll also call him Raymond. This young man found himself in a speech class at university. He received a scholarship from high school and was anxious to maintain a good grade point average. This somewhat directed him to this supposedly easy speech class. It wasn't until the last day had passed for being able to transfer to some other class that the teacher said, "Students, you'll be pleased to know that in the last 25 years of my teaching, I've only given 5 A's." You ever heard a teacher say that to you? Well, Raymond's heart sunk. He tried transferring from the class, but it was too late. Through the months, he received B's, B minuses, once in a while a B plus, but never an A. He was disheartened. 30 days from the conclusion of the term, the teacher stood up and said to the class, "You each have one last talk to give. It will determine half of your grade. You must, one, select an extremely controversial subject. Two, talk for 25 minutes. Three, make an actual defense of the subject the best you can. Four, be prepared to receive a purposeful attack upon you and your subject after you've finished. And five, receive a written critique afterwards from each student in the class." A great hush came over the whole class, mostly from self-doubt and fear, I suppose. Some thought of talking on communism versus democracy, racial issues, birth control, anything that would be controversial. Numbers were drawn to determine who would speak first. Raymond drew number 9. As the days went by and he saw the grueling experience each speaker went through, great fear mounted in his heart about what he should do. He prayed about a topic, as I'm sure you all do concerning your school assignments. He really prayed. He could not seem to settle on anything. He was now 2 days away from the day he was supposed to give the speech. He didn't have a thing in writing. The impression seemed to always be the same. If you're looking, Elder Brother, if you are looking, Raymond, for a controversial subject, choose the Book of Mormon. That's controversial enough. But he was fearful, however, because he knew he was the only member of the church in the class. He also knew that the teacher was an active member of a Protestant church. She had made it clearly known throughout the entire semester as she taught passages from the Bible that the Bible was the only revelation from God to man. Raymond struggled with himself. He feared the whole idea might backfire. But he finally decided to trust and do it anyway. As a priest, he had served a state mission that previous summer, and he knew the old missionary lesson depicting the Bible and the Book of Mormon as scripture to the old and the new world. The day of his presentation, he announced his subject as the Book of Mormon. A hush fell over the whole class. He began, in the beginning, teaching semi-academically with the thought, and maybe a little semi-historically as well, to not offend anyone. However, about halfway through, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he thought, "I can't just tell him historically about this book. I don't care what they think of me or what happens to my grade. These folks are going to get it." The Book of Mormon is true. They ought to all know it. He ended up teaching the lesson pretty much as it was written, to be given to investigators. Bore his testimony frequently right in the class, and even concluded, "In the name of Jesus Christ, amen." The only amen, I might add. He then waited for the attack. To his astonishment, not a word was spoken by the students. The teacher tried prompting and persuading them to attack. They would not. No one would. Not one word was spoken. Finally, in some frustration, the teacher said, "Be seated, Raymond." The written student reviews were all positive. 4 or 5 wrote, "You've almost convinced me of the truth of what you've spoken." One individual who was particularly critical of the other students' presentations wrote, "I really would like to know more about your church." What faith it took for this young man to proceed and to teach what he knew was right in the face of almost sure ridicule. You might be interested to know that to his delight, Raymond received an A in the class. The Lord truly blesses any one of us that keeps the commandments and is not afraid to bear witness of him as he has commanded all of us, quote, to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places that you may be in. Didn't Paul speak with the Spirit when he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Remember, my young friends, to be learned is good, if you hearken unto the counsels of God. Remember that counsel in all your learning. You may have faced, or you will face, the world just as this young man did. How much faith will you have? Remember to never be embarrassed, but to go forward and testify of that which you believe. These decisions, these big ones, marriage, mission, school, careers, will be more easily made if you pray with faith and truly trust the Lord. Seek counsel from the Almighty. Don't act as a novice or a beginner that pretends to know it all. One novice I heard of, a tourist from the East one time, camping in the mountains of the West, humorously said to a seasoned guide, a real mountain man, is it true that a grizzly bear won't attack you if you're carrying a lantern? The man thought a moment and he said, well, sonny, I guess it depends on how fast you're carrying it. I think some of us make decisions that way, and we lay out plans like that tourist in the forest, or another tourist who I heard receive this counsel for a surefire way to catch a porcupine. 1, get up in a tree with large steel tub. 2, when porcupine comes by, drop tub over porcupine. 3, this provides you something to sit upon to plan next move. We can surely do better than that, I believe, in doing our planning in these critical decisions about life. Some don't look ahead at all, like the fellow on the tub. May I give you another illustration that relates to the decision of employment, one of these big ones that each of us has to decide? Let me tell you about another young man. We'll also call him Raymond. Even though this incident happened in his teen years, it applies to any one of us as adults in teaching us to really rely on the Lord. When he was 11, Raymond obtained a paper out and really began to prosper. He was still delivering papers at age 16. One day, an inactive member, an adult member of the church, the manager of the newspaper, came in and said, Raymond, you've been so loyal and done so well in selling subscriptions that I'm going to appoint you assistant manager of circulation of this newspaper. In your duties, you'll supervise the other paper boys and teach them how to sell subscriptions after school. Upon finishing your route, you'll be able to come to the office and work 2 or 3 hours. You'll be able to do some homework while you're waiting to answer complaints on the phone. All in all, it'll be a great job for you. And by the way, your pay will be tripled. This young man was delighted. He wanted to go on a mission, was saving money from his route to prepare for that day. This job would simply accelerate the process. He counted his blessings for the ideal job at a time when many teenagers had no work. He said to himself over and over again, my, the Lord blesses one who keeps the commandments. He felt to glorify the Lord in that he had always paid his tithing, kept the Sabbath day holy, and honored his priesthood. He also felt he was being blessed for resisting great pressure in those days to study on Sunday, which he would not do. A successful year and a half went by, and one Saturday, George, the newspaper manager, came to him and said, well, Raymond, you know that next week, next Sunday, from now on, we're going to begin delivering the Sunday paper. You'll not only have your Sunday route to deliver early in the morning, but you'll have to stay in the office from about 7 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. You'll receive about another 30% increase in your pay. Raymond's countenance immediately fell. The manager, seeing that, quickly added, listen, I know you're a Mormon, and you may chance by chance be thinking of not doing this extra job beyond your route. If you don't take the job, you'll not only lose the opportunity to earn more money on Sunday, but you'll also lose your paper out and be fired from your weekday job as well. There are many young kids your age, paper boys, give the right arm to have this job. As Raymond went home on his bike that day, he was really despondent. He prayed over and over in his heart, "How could this be, Heavenly Father? I've kept the commandments. I've tried to do what's right, paid my tithing, trying to go on a mission. Now I may lose my job. Shall I work this added job on Sunday or not?" Very emotionally, he explained the problem to his father, who gave him the correct answer when he said, "I don't know." But then said, "I know someone who does," meaning the Lord. In a great teaching moment, he put the burden back on Raymond. Raymond struggled with the problem. He talked to his bishop, who told him about the same thing as his father had said. He learned there were sacrament meetings being held in other wards in the city in the afternoon that he could attend if he decided to work. He prayed and struggled with the problem for 2 full days. Tuesday, when asked for a decision by George, the manager, Raymond said with some emotion, "I love my job and my route, but I cannot work on Sunday, thereby missing all of my meetings and working throughout the Sabbath day. It's just not right." George angrily responded, "You're fired, buddy. Come in Saturday to pick up your last check. Did you hear me? You're fired. There are scores of young men who would take a job like this. You're a very ungrateful young man." He stomped out of the office. The next 3 or 4 days were long ones for Raymond. The manager hardly spoke to him. He really wondered if he had decided correctly and thought to himself, "There are many who have to work on Sunday because of their employment, shouldn't I?" But the answer always seemed to be the same. "There may be some who have to work on Sunday, but you don't have to, and you should not." Saturday morning finally arrived, and Raymond went in to pick up his last check. As he walked into the office, somewhat downtrodden, I guess, George was waiting for him. He grabbed the boy by the arm and took him into a nearby room, perhaps for privacy, and said, "Raymond, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I was wrong. I ought not to have tried to make you break the commandments of the Lord. I have found another young man of another faith who's willing to do the extra work on Sunday. You can keep your job, will you?" With a heart full of thankfulness, Raymond said he would. The manager then added, "You'll find the extra 30% I was going to pay you for the extra work on Sunday included in your paycheck this week, and also in your future paychecks, as long as you continue working for me." What great joy this young man felt in his heart as he headed for home that afternoon, saying again and again in his heart, "It is worth it to keep the commandments of the Lord. The Lord will always provide for his own." What joy Raymond felt a year later to see his manager in the congregation when he gave his final talk preparatory to leaving for his mission. What greater joy, even a few months ago from this very day, to find Raymond talking with George on the phone, learning that he's active, faithful, strong in the church, and is a high priest, group leader in his ward in another state. Yes, the Lord commanded us, quote, "to seek a living like unto men, but also to be in the world and not be of it." Be careful, my young friends, that you never compromise the principles that you believe in. Remember this counsel and always trust in the Lord. The Lord will inspire you in the selection of employment as long as it is an honest employment. You'll be blessed by the sweat of your brow as you earn your keep. Remember, it was the Lord that said, "6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and in it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates." The decisions concerning employment, missions, marriage, and careers truly are difficult ones. But if a man will look to the Lord, he truly will cause all things to work together for your good. Decisions will be correct and for your eternal welfare. Let me tell you of one last example of another young man. We'll also call him Raymond. I think the family of this young man exemplifies the love, confidence, and trust that must exist in family relationships. Raymond found himself quite ill as he was serving his mission in a distant land. He had many digestive problems, and the mission president was considering sending him home due to his poor health. To compound his problems, one day while out walking, he found himself with a severe pain in his left foot. He couldn't even walk to the next discussion he and his companion had planned, and they ended up going to the doctor, who said, "It's just arthritis caused by the damp weather. If you'll stay off your foot for 2 or 3 days, the pain will pass." The young man did so. He also had a priesthood blessing, but seemingly nothing happened. He was a district leader at the time, and his district had just begun to baptize in a city where they had not had any baptisms for some time. He could not understand how the Lord could allow him to remain down for those days when his district was just beginning to have success. A week went by, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Do you know how long that is when you're a missionary and you want to work? A month, still in bed, still incapacitated with no change in the pain in his foot. Finally, he was taken to the mission home in the capital city where most suitable medical facilities were found. An x-ray was finally taken. One of the bones in his foot had been fractured or broken and had then grown back together incorrectly. The doctors talked of either breaking the bone again or giving him some special electrical treatments that were supposed to fuse the bone correctly. But it would take another month. Patiently, he was down again, going for treatments twice a day. The treatments didn't seem to make any difference. This problem, on top of the other medical problems, had him somewhat discouraged and again the serious consideration to send him home. One morning, after nearly 3 months, he stepped out of bed to find absolutely no pain in his foot. He stepped on the foot gently, then stamped on it, then ran with his companion for 1/2 mile that morning, totally healed. With great joy, he returned immediately to the field of work. 2 more weeks went by. Then a letter arrived that said, "Dear son," and then followed a paragraph or two of chastisement for not having told his family about his ailments in the mission field. They indicated that they had learned of his problems from another missionary, a friend of his who had written home. In great love, they wrote, "We have begun a fast and constant prayer for you as a family. We've also placed your name on the temple prayer list and hope that by our faith and prayers it might be of help to you." As he tearfully read the letter and examined his journal, he found that the day that he had arisen from his bed healed was the very day the letter had been written. The very day this family began praying and exercising faith for a distant son. How could that be across 7,000 miles? I suppose no man knows, but the reality of the power of faith cannot be denied. Remember the counsel, trust in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, think of the great love your parents have for you and the sacrifices they've made for you, which reach not just across 7,000 miles, but across the eternities. Stay close to your families. Counsel with your parents and your brothers and sisters. Your faith combined with their faith will see you through any problem. They can help you tremendously with these major decisions, the big ones that you face in life. It was the Lord that said, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." The ties that draw you close to your family ought to be continually strengthened. How ungrateful some of us are, how little we know of the sacrifices of our parents for us. How many of you know, for example, think with me a minute, how many of you really know how many times your mother was up with you when you were a child and all the sleepless nights, the time she wiped your tears, bandaged your knee, and taught you of God, and cheered you up when she was down and discouraged and her own heart was broken. What do you know of your father who worked to sustain your family when he didn't feel like it? When he didn't really want to go to work, but he went anyway. Maybe when he was discouraged and down, but he went daily, monthly, yearly, went to work anyway. How much time and effort has it taken to raise you to the point you are at this time? How many thousands of hours, sleepless nights, fasting and prayers have they invested in you for you to reach this point in your maturity? How wise all of us would be to write them. Yes, write them regularly and express your love to them. They hang on every word that comes from you of whom they're so proud. Allow them to be part of your life to assist you in those key decisions. If those relationships are not now in order, find a way to put them in order. Many of you now look forward to another major decision, that of selecting a mate. Know that the Lord will also bless you in that major decision. After marriage, the children will come. They'll teach the parents, probably more than you'll teach the children. I remember some months ago, something that happened in my own family. While I was teaching the Illustrated Book of Mormon Stories to my son Jared, who's just age 5, I made quite a point of the fact that Nephi had gone back into the city, Jared, to get the brass plates, and then rather innocently asked him, "Why do you think that Nephi then had to go back to Jerusalem to get the plates?" He thought a moment and then he said, "Well, Dad, I guess it's because when they're going in the desert, they didn't have anything else to eat on." That was pretty humbling to this teacher who wasn't doing so well in teaching. Know that it is a commandment to marry and to have a family. The Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone." And also, "Marriage is ordained of God unto man, and they twain shall be one flesh, and all this that the earth might answer the end of its creation, and that it might be filled with the measure of man, according to his creation before the world was made." I know some of you single sisters are worried about marriage, and whether or not you'll ever be married. I heard one sister say with a smile, "The reason that fellow on the great white horse has not come for me is that he must surely in the preexistence have been killed in the war in heaven." Sisters, you know the promises of the Lord to you if you prove faithful. The day will come, here or otherwise, when you will be married, that you'll not lose any blessing you would have otherwise had you been married. Be faithful, be patient. I realize there are some of you who are already married and facing real struggles. That's good for your marriage if taken in the right spirit. Stay close to one another. Work out your difficulties. It will make your marriage even stronger. With a smile, I might say that one young man was really good at laying down the law to his wife. The problem was she was a lot better at making amendments. Or another young couple that I unwisely was buying on credit and were in the process of having some real economic struggles. They couldn't decide where to put the new baby, as they didn't have enough money to buy a baby crib. So they finally decided their only opportunity would be to place him in the box the colored TV came in. Priorities kind of twisted, weren't they? Seriously, brothers and sisters, life is a struggle. Major decisions face all of you, but they are solvable and you will pass through them successfully if you rely on the Lord. In summary, we see in all these examples the illustrations of young people like you who have acted in faith and have trusted in the Lord. The Lord really is the answer to it all. He's the one who will inspire you to go on a mission if you'll seek Him. He'll inspire you in the selection of your career, your employment, your mate for time and all eternity. He's the one who will unleash your potential as an individual and teach you from the heavens who you are and what you ought to do. In conclusion, may I make these few suggestions that may help you stay close to and trust in the Lord. You may want to jot them down. 1, pray to Him. continually seeking revelation throughout the day. 2, read his scriptures daily, even if for only a few minutes. They'll teach you of the world to come and give you specific direction in this world. 3, exercise faith and keep the things of the Spirit as the first priority in your life, and then all else will be appropriately added. 4, seek to do his will, not your own, humbling yourself and repenting or changing your life as needed. 5, love others, serve them, feed the Lord's flock. And 6, finally, keep the commandments with exactness. Remember, the Lord will truly prosper those who keep his commandments, he said. And if it so be that the children of men keep the commandments of God, he doth, 1, nourish them, 2, strengthen them, and 3, provide means whereby they can accomplish the thing which he has commanded them. I bear testimony of the fact that if you keep the commandments, he nourishes you, strengthens you, and provides you means for accomplishing all things necessary to faithfully finish your divine mission here on earth. May the Lord bless you this special generation while you're making these great decisions, the big ones. Yes, and also all of the little ones throughout all your lives. Rely on the only sure power for doing it all correctly. Invite his Spirit to be with you, and he will see you through and return you to your celestial home. May we all look to the Lord and trust in the Lord as we ought. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.